The first international concert to raise awareness about the plight of some 800,000 Rohingya refugees who fled violence in Myanmar has just taken place in New York. We spoke to the conductor, George Matthew, who's also artistic director of the organizers, Music for Life International.
The Rohingya crisis has been on our minds and in the world's mind, but it's sort of peaked in the last year and a bit. And there are really powerful resonances that the Ninth Symphony of Beethoven has with this particular situation. And it just seemed to cry out. It was a logical pairing, and certainly the situation of the Rohingya community is very serious. And so our mission at Music for Life International is to make a difference for the most vulnerable people among us through music.
This doesn't include the Ode to Joy, does it, the ninth?
It does.
That's sort of odd then. You're saying that there's so many similarities. What is it then in the ninth that speaks to the people at the Rohingyas?
It speaks to the question of being marginalized. Both Beethoven and Schiller talk about the circle of friendship, and this is in the text. If one, for some reason, is unable to claim friendship, then that is really tragic. That happens at the very beginning of the Ode to Joy. Then, as Beethoven goes through the Ode to Joy and sets it in different ways, different styles, and one of the styles that he uses is a drinking song of that time, and it's unmistakable. And as the singers and the music start to get more and more unstable, they are forced to rely on the rhythm section of the music. And what is fantastic at this place is that the rhythm section is made of non-Western instruments of that time, like the bass drum and the contrabassoon and the cymbals, which are actually called scimitars, crescents, and triangle, which come from the Turkish military tradition, because the Turkish army was right outside the gates of Vienna. And so in the moment where the extremely German and Western European setting of the Ode to Joy becomes unstable, it is necessary for the music, for the very notes and the musicians themselves, to lean on the outsider, on the Eastern, probably darker skinned, and especially Islamic outsider, not only for security, but for stability. And it's not just that Beethoven is suggesting that embracing the outsider is a generous thing to do. He's saying it's what will provide for survival and safety. 200 years later, it seems to be a lesson and a message that we still very sorely need.
You're making all these connections lyrically and geographically and also with the instruments. Do you feel it is then a particularly apt time? You clearly do, given that there's this, you know, in America and many parts of Europe, this feeling of, I don't know if I'd call it anti-refugee, but certainly anti-immigrant sentiment.
Yeah. Anti-outsider. There is a tide emerging all over the world of anti-outsider feeling, anti-immigrant, anti-refugee, anti-minority. Some of it is anti-women, anti-LGBT people. It's people feeling unsafe and shrinking into themselves and becoming even more insecure. And Beethoven is suggesting that an expansive idea, if you will, a progressive idea of welcoming people. Because we know that in the countries where immigration has been strong, that immigration is the thing that has provided the most powerful economic, cultural, and social engine.